Thank you, and good morning again. Just a little bit of background, and then we'd like to look at the scriptures, and then to Book of Acts, it'll be, by the way. And then we'll see the PowerPoint as well, which describes the Lord's work in Japan and raises lots of questions, I hope. Want to know why and this sort of thing, so that's what we'll get into later. First of all, my first wife, Lois, and I, she was from Winnipeg, and that's our connection with the Winnipeg Assemblies there. We were sent out in 1968 to Japan. We had met at Emmaus Bible School when it was down in Oak Park, and went in 1968, and for 2 years, as all the senior missionaries recommended, whatever you do, learn the language. I mean, you gotta do that in order to do anything. And so our first 2 years were in language school, 68 to 70. Then we moved from that language school area, kind of in the mountains, into the Tokyo area, biggest city on the earth, 30 million people, the metro area. Tokyo itself is about 12 million, but and we were in a suburb. A suburb of 1.5 million, so that gives you an idea. However, that's where we lived. We worked in connection with another missionary group, a senior missionary, the Pressons. Pat Presson, the man's name was. Some of you might remember the name. Pat's with the Lord. We saw Betty, his wife, about 2 weeks ago, Mary, something like that, in St. Louis. But and our assembly started. We're starting from zero in a new area, and with the cooperation, the terrific help of the Pressons, plus the assembly that they were a part of, which was in Tokyo, actually. But that started about in 1972, the spring of 72, about a year and a half after. And then, about 5 years later, another assembly on the same train line. That's how you get around in 30 million people. Without trains, you're in trouble. But anyway, then we sent out a number of people. Between their assembly, our assembly, a third one got started. And among those assemblies right now, they still carry on a wonderful fellowship and so on, and cooperation working together. We were there. Lois passed away in 1989. I met Mary and in Japan. She'd been a missionary there since 1974 with the Evangelical Alliance Mission team. And we got married in 1990, stayed in that Tokyo area assembly for 4 years, and then it was pretty obvious that they were ready to be left. They didn't want to be left. Thank you very much, but it's time for us to get out of the way and turn it over to Japanese people, get out of the way, and then we go somewhere else, which is when we moved from there up into the mountains. This is Mary's famous illustration. This is Japan, okay? Shaped like left elbow. From your viewpoint. Tokyo's right here at the tip of the elbow, and we moved from there into the central mountains. You'll see pictures of the tsunami in a few minutes, the huge thing last year in March. That was over here on the outside, and so we had a couple of mountain ranges in between, and there was no damage from that. However, you're going to see something later. But that's where we have been for 18 years, since 1994. Had the Nagano Olympics there, Winter Olympics in 1998, in that general area, and so on. Being out in the country with a population of 40,000 as opposed to, you know, 30 million, is a different story altogether, especially in Japanese culture. And I hope that you'll have some better understanding of how to pray for us and some of the needs that we have. But that'll come later. Let's take our Bibles. You've come for that, not just for me to babble. And I'd ask you to turn today to Acts chapter 14. And I say this because, and I've chosen this passage, I was thinking about it, but I also think that it'll help you to understand a little bit of some of the difficulties and the way people in a totally non-Christian culture, no influence, matter of fact, from 1600 until about 1850, what is it, four or five, Japan slammed its doors to the outside world, including the Christians. And the point was to extinguish any outside, particularly imperialistic Western influence. They wanted to keep that out so they could have their country to themselves. And so, you know, the people, they like us. They're fine. We're fine with that now. And when they opened up real good. But there are questions, and they're coming from a totally different vantage point. And I hope to help you to understand a little bit of that through the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 14 when he went to Lystra. This is starting at verse 8. If you'll just take a look at it, we'll add some comments, and perhaps you'll understand not only some similar problems in Japan, and then similar ways of approaching them. In Lystra, this is in Paul, the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey, there was sitting a certain man, without strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And everybody knew him. He's begging. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze upon him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, how did Paul know that? Who knows? But anyway, this fellow is listening intently. There's some change that Paul picks up on, that he has faith to be made well. So Paul said with him, with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he jumped up and began to walk, which obviously created a sensation. Well, of course, it would in Milwaukee, it would create a sensation anywhere. And when the multitudes saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." Okay? Now, Paul and Barnabas don't have any idea what's going on. They can't understand the language. These folks are talking in their local dialect. But they thought, well, from whom they named them, you get something, another idea. They began calling Barnabas Zeus or Dios. It's, you know, a term for God, chief God. And Paul, they called him Hermes. In Latin, you would say Jupiter and Mercury, two different Latin gods, because Paul was the chief speaker. Now, what are they thinking here? They think in Greek gods that there are lots of different gods up there. There's Venus and... Well, it depends on which language you're using. If it's Italian, you would say Jupiter and Mercury and Saturn and, you know. And the idea is, it's not that they're talking about planets. That came way later. They're talking about this God is in charge of this part of life. It's the same idea in the Old Testament. When you want rain, where do you go? You go to Baal. And that's the whole idea of Elijah going up Mount Carmel. Who can send rain? First fire, lightning, you know, and then the rain afterwards to break the famine. Who cut off the water in the first place? Baal must be angry at us. So we go up and have a sacrifice, and we'll get you guys, you prophets of Baal. And the whole idea was that Baal was the god of the weather. You wanted rain, you give him an offering. If you gals are going to have a baby, you go to the dog shrine because the dogs have their babies easily. And so You got the weather god, you've got the childbirth god, dogs. Any of you young fellows are wanting to get into university, you go to another shrine where another god of learning is there. Make an offering, pray, I hope I'll get into such and such a university, and then you're real thankful to him afterwards. In other words, life is broken up into different sections, and there's a god in charge of each one, and you keep that god happy, and hopefully you get what you want, and so on. Polytheism is the technical term that's used for that, and the idea, of course, is that each god has his own area, and no god is almighty. There's nobody behind everything like this. Little gods, if you will. That's where they're coming from here, in Lystra. And they called Barnabas the big god. I'll bet you that I've heard in other places that Paul might have been a short guy. There are hints of that in Scripture. Well, he's the talker, but he's short. Barnabas probably bigger, so we'll call him Zeus. But here they come. Wow, of course. And if they've come, then in verse 13, the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, he brought oxen and garlands to the gates, and he wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. Wow, here are the gods. Well, you better thank them for what's going on. Maybe we can get something else out of them. You know, health and wealth gospel. Any of you refer to that? I mean, that's the whole idea in this. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it, when they finally figured out what's going on, because they're all talking in their own language, they tore their robes. You don't say that to a Jew, to somebody who worships one and only one God. They tore their robes, rushed out into the crowd, crying out, verse 15, and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you." We're just human beings. That's all we are. "And we preach the gospel to you in order that you should turn from these vain things to a living God." The God who did what? He made the heaven, and that's a quote from, I didn't look it up, but it's someplace in the Old Testament. The God Almighty of the whole universe, he made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that's in them. That's the one that is worthy of worshiping, rather than a God where you just want to get something out of him or try to avoid trouble through his help. Well, that's what Paul is preaching. "And in the generations gone by, in the past times, God permitted all the nations to go their own ways." Think of the different nations of the Old Testament, all the different gods and the ins and outs and things that are going on there. He let them go their own ways. "And yet, he did not leave himself without witness." There always is witness that there is something behind the superficial world that we see and deal with every day. What was his witness? "In that, God did good and gave you rains from heaven." Thank the Lord for what we've had the last day or so. And, you know, you hope for more. But he gave you rains from heaven, fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Well, that's as far as he got, as far as we know. We don't know anything more that Paul said in this situation. But even saying these things, they with difficulty restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. And that all changed in a minute when the Jews got there and were able to persuade them to stone Paul and Barnabas. That's not what I'm particularly concerned about. But he's talking to a people that think of, in the back of their heads, are thinking of many, many gods. That's very similar to the religion called Shinto in Japan. Many gods, they talk about what, about 8 million, or is it 800 million? I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. But they're all little gods. That's one attitude. In addition to that is the religion called Buddhism, which really doesn't say anything whether there is a god or not. All they know is, and this is the basic idea of Buddhism, is that I am going to reap what I sow. I will be back in the next life. And I will either go up or down. We've got a temple not far from us, about an hour away, that shows, they've got statues for each of the six different levels you can go to. Human being is number 5. Heaven, kind of, is number 6. And you can get down to raging animals and demons and hell. But even that, you'll spend some time in hell, and then you'll come back. And it's round and round and round. Reincarnation is what's behind it. And there's no God, particularly, that's controlling this. And then the third religion, you'll see lots of that in the PowerPoint in a minute, is the religion of, is it religion or is it just simply respecting the ancestors, ancestor worship? That's a big one. Keep the family together. Remember Grandpa. Not just go to his grave and clean it up every so often, but, and, you know, great grandpa and way, way, way back, but also offer some prayers to him every day. Take the first water out of the tap in the morning, the first rice out of the pot. Grandpa, we're remembering you. It's not that he's going to eat it. We're just thinking of you. And we hold together as a family. That's where we're dealing with. That's the kind of stuff that Paul had to deal with here. You'll get another hint of it if you've got some time sometime. Check Acts 17. Different situation when Paul went to Athens. So Acts 17, Paul's speech in Athens, also has lots to say to Japanese people. But to help you understand that there is one and God, and not only that, there is a God. Many people in Japan, particularly in Tokyo, oh, yeah, I know, the ancestors, they worship that sort of thing. But me, I've been to university, and I know very well that materialism, everything is only what you see right here. There's nothing behind it. This is the age of science and so on. And yes, I go through the motions of worshiping the ancestors or thinking there might be a reincarnation. But I, you know, really don't go for it. That's another attitude that we have to deal with in that country. Those are the people we hope to understand so that we can give them the truth that Paul is talking about here, that each of us knows here in the States, and that we can, and hopefully, come to real faith in the Lord. Come to faith, but then have to make the gutsy decision that I'm going to declare myself the Lord's. We'd like to describe some of those things to you this morning. Mary will be changing the pictures. I will narrate it up here. And I might add, too, that, who was it, one of the brothers, I gave some pictures to it. Okay, yeah. And I think there might be some out in the foyer. If you're interested in praying, stick it on your fridge or something, you know. Would appreciate your remembering. Not just us. It's easy for us to live there. It's a nice country to live in. I mean, really nice. But it's a tough place to lead people to the Lord and to pray for them. Those are the ones that we're really here to ask you to pray for. So, if we can, there we go. And I'll read the text as we go, and afterwards we'll probably finish in prayer, but individually, if you've got questions, we'd be delighted to answer them as best we can. March 11, 2011, a date that resonates in Japanese hearts, much like 9/11 does in American hearts. The whole world learned what a tsunami was. The devastation was horrific. Everybody marveled at the orderly way the Japanese people responded to the catastrophe. No shoplifting, no looting, no barging into line when stuff was being handed out. Japan was on everybody's map. Northern Japan, where it happened, has always been very resistant, especially so for Japan, very resistant to the gospel of Christ. But Christians, both Japanese and from foreign countries, have been right at the forefront of relief efforts, and the victims have taken notice. Many have come to Christ, so we hear. However, 12 hours after the monster earthquake and tsunami and nuclear power plant explosion on the northern Pacific side of Japan, Sakai Village, about 30 minutes downriver from us, and where our son Bob lives, had its own huge earthquake. Limited area, but big shake. No lives were lost, but many, many families still have to live in these temporary housing units until their homes are rebuilt to meet legal safety standards. Please notice the seven little child gods. They were all facing the same way as the one on the left until the earthquake hit. Then, according to the locals, the other six gods turned to face the right, which is the direction of Sakai Village, to protect the distressed people of Sakai. It looks suspiciously like the work of some local person who wasn't quite strong enough to turn the big one on the left. Besides earthquakes, what kind of place is Iyama City and Sakai Village? We're surrounded by fairly high mountains, and our Nagano province air is famous all over Japan. So is the quality of the rice and other vegetables and fruits grown there, mainly because of the fresh mountain water. A few years ago, a movie producer, wanting a rural setting where the four seasons could be clearly and dramatically portrayed, chose Iyama for his shooting location. There's the DVD of that movie. Real nice movie, but he wanted four good, clear seasons, so he chose Iyama to shoot. Let's see the four seasons. Spring bursts into life and color with pink cherry blossoms, yellow daffodils, and canola blossoms, and skunk cabbage. That's our dog Momo, but the flowers around there in the marsh are real pretty. Summer is oh so green, from the surrounding mountains to the velvety green rice fields, and that's just behind our house there. In autumn, the green rice turns golden. Beat it, crows. Red apples hang from the trees, and bronze, red, and yellow colors creep down the mountainsides as trees put on their autumn foliage. Winter becomes a dazzling white wonderland, with up to 40 feet of snowfall last winter at our house, and even more up in the mountains. We have to shovel our roof, of course. And by the way, that's the edge of our roof. Okay. Yeah. Anybody want to come in January? You'll. We have to shovel our roof, of course. And this time, some Christian brothers from snow-free country came and helped. Thank you very much. And that's the high roof up there at the top, anyway. This is what happens when you don't snow or shovel your roof. That house is totally collapsed. Nobody living there, but it's gone. How do people earn a living? Buddhism itself is an important industry in Iyama. The city advertises itself as the city of temples, with about one temple for every 1,000 people, which is way above the national average. In the mile or so between our house and our Iyama Bible Center, this is one of 16 temples all lined up along one short road. These temple priests are kept busy doing memorial services for people in their parishes who have died. The services are performed on regular death anniversaries, the 1st, the 3rd, the 7th, the 13th, etc., up to 50 years after a person has died. And these services provide important income for the priests. The Butsudan, or ancestor shelf, is the center of these memorial services and the center of daily family ancestor worship. When a person dies, the family chooses a Buddhist name for the afterworld, the next life. And this is written on a special plaque, which is then placed into the Butsudan. You got four of them there. On the left, two of them, and on the right, two of them. That's their name for the afterworld, and they have to, you know, they pay for them, of course, to the Buddhist priest. He inscribes them. The more you pay, the better the name, and thus a better afterlife? Sound anything like the sale of indulgences during the Middle Ages? We know many families who every day offer water, fresh rice, incense, and prayers to their ancestors. And they're not saying, Almighty ancestors, please do something for us. They're just saying, we want to be close to you. Stay close to me, and so on, is basically what they're saying. The production of these butsudans is a big industry in Iyama, and they sell them all over the country. In fact, for one long block in town, almost every shop sells them. The ancestor shelves call for truly skilled workmanship, such as wood carving, lacquering, gold foil application, painting, and fine metalwork to produce these beautiful cabinets. While we respect this skilled craftsmanship and the beauty of these cabinets, we know also that our adversary uses them as a trap to keep people from turning to Jesus, the real source of life for eternity. What other kinds of work do people do? Some people find employment in controlled environment mushroom factories like this. They really crank them out. Probably a quarter of the entire Japanese mushroom production comes from factories like this in Iyama alone. It's pretty big business. Others work in high-tech industries, camera lenses, for example, such as computer parts and computer assembly. Still others commute an hour to the big city of Nagano for their jobs. Another big employer is the recreation industry, with both skiing and snowboarding in the winter, and rafting and canoeing and hiking in the summer, and wonderful hot springs year-round. And I don't just mean for your ankles. That's nice. But right across the street is where you really get in. You know, men and women separate, but there's nothing like that. You know, you've been skiing all day or something, you're a little sore, all your cares go away. It's great. Anybody want to try year-round ski jumping? The two left ones, jumps there, are year-round. They spray water on the artificial turf, and then you'll slip, you know, when you land. So, any of you guys want to go up to the top? There you go. Recreation requires hotels and inns. Many of our friends are kept busy with their bed and breakfast inns, especially on Sundays, just when we're having church meetings. But with an aging population, not many good jobs locally, no colleges in town, and piles of snow to contend with every winter, the number of young people staying around is dropping. We used to have 4 high schools in Iyama, but one closed, and this one will soon merge with this rebuilt one, only 3 minutes from our house. What other changes are coming? 2 years from now, in 2014, the bullet train connecting Tokyo and Iyama directly will be completed. And the new station that's under construction right there. And by the way, I'll just point out that you can see the tunnel just right after that. That goes for 23.5 kilometers, about 15 miles tunnel, out to the seacoast. It's about the 4th or 5th longest in the world, so I've heard. But that is only a 5-minute walk from the Bible Center where we are now standing. We've got a good location. We hear people in town express both anticipation of new development and uncertainty about unpredictable changes coming. Besides being the city of temples, Iyama also says that it is the nice old family hometown. So, a local artist who makes dolls of grannies and grandpas and their grandkids has set up a museum on Ancestor Shelf Avenue, and tour groups from all over the country have been flocking to see it. They also stop in to see the Folk Art Museum across the street, which features, of course, ancestor shelves and the golden toilet. Gilded, yeah. They have to repair that thing every year because people come along and scrape once in a while. How do we reach out to the people of Iyama in this situation? First of all, we live right among them. That's our house, but of course that's in summertime. And we participate in many of the neighborhood activities, like weeding the flower beds along the National Highway. Our section has got its own 200 yards that we have to weed once or twice during the summer. Until 2011, when Kristen Ismert left, we always had a two-year short-term missionary teaching English and Bible classes at the Bible Center and elsewhere, and that's where Kevin was back in the summer of 1995. Yeah, so he was there at that point. Now, nobody there at the moment, but now, Mike Wong, brother from Singapore and New Zealand, is planning to come next spring of 2013, to help cover English classes, but he wants to be there long term if the Lord opens the way up. Mary has 4 very lively kids' English classes, 2 of them in our home, most of them kids from the neighborhood. I usually teach the Bible story. My dad was in Christian Businessmen's Committee for 50 years. Now, did Brother T.E. McCauley, he's from Milwaukee? Okay, he was part, I think, of the starting of Christian Businessmen's Committee. Dad was in it for 50 years, and that's where my idea for men's breakfasts came from. What that means is I go around to all the men I can, you know, think might respond, probably 50 or 60 of them, invite them to a hotel for breakfast, cost them $10, get a good breakfast, and then we have a speaker, as much as possible, not a preacher, a businessman. Usually 20 men attend when we can get an outside speaker. This brother, a former high school physics teacher, spoke about God's creation versus atheistic evolution. That was just in July. One man said, I feel like scales have dropped from my eyes. Wednesday evenings is prayer, Bible study and prayer meeting, including non-Christians, like here, the gentleman behind there. Our son Bob is the one here on the left. We're studying the book of Exodus at the moment. The annual Nagano Area Interchurch Ladies Luncheon is a big attraction. This one attracted 280 ladies to hear how the Lord has sustained this lady whose daughter was abducted to North Korea over 30 years ago. Quite a testimony. And she came to the Lord as a result of losing her daughter. Her husband is still not a believer. Quite a testimony. One veteran missionary told me before I ever got there, Peter, in Japan, there's no net fishing. It's all line fishing. That means individual and group studies, group Bible studies, of course. We also work with children through monthly Let's Play in English, Bible and English clubs. We usually do two each month, one in a community center near a small elementary school, and one in Bob's village with students from the schools where he teaches. Every spring, during spring vacation, we send young people to Augusta, Georgia, and St. Louis for an American homestay experience in Christian homes. This was at the final pre-flight orientation one March. A couple of years ago, 16 young people from the host families in St. Louis came to visit Iyama. They stayed with the young people who had just been to St. Louis, and we had a great turnout at the Bible Center that Sunday. Mary also volunteers at a home for mentally handicapped adults. Once a month, the home asks Mary to do her Mary time, they call it, which means singing, Bible stories, and very simple English. We're just beginning to see some interest in the gospel among some of the staff. We also have activities and fun times for kids from the nearby children's home. Our dog Momo is just perfect for animal therapy. I walk in and, oh, Momo! Ignore me, but anyway. This boy and two of his buddies went canoeing with me, and just about every year we take some. The head of the home is a seeker. How we pray for his salvation. I am also the regional director for Japan for the Emmaus Bible Correspondence courses, although three of us share the responsibility. It's been taking a lot of my time recently. Working with this nearby pastor to double-check translations has been a great help. Thank you, brother. We just finished Guide to Christian Growth and Summary of the Bible. Next comes God's Word is Truth, an apologetics book written by Bill McDonald, if you're familiar with him. But my real burden is to encourage each local church to have an Emmaus pusher to promote the courses. And I'm going to pick on, is it Jim Quint? Where is he? Okay, he's back there. All right. Supposing Jim is the Emmaus pusher for Wauwatosa. Okay? We put out the courses nowadays in CD-ROM form. And the ones that are sold for assembly or church group use can be copied all you want, print them out or copy CD-ROM so you can study them on your computer or whatever. But included is the answer sheet, the answer key. Not just the blank answer sheet, but the answer key. So Jim gets them, copies them out, comes to number one, you ought to study this one, and you ought to work on this one, and you've just become a Christian, so you should work on lessons in Christian living, and you're not quite there yet, so you can work on summary of the Bible, not summary of the Bible, but what the Bible teaches, and so on. In other words, he's pushing the courses. I mean, it sounds like heroin, I know, but that this is good stuff we're pushing. And then you got to keep pestering them, you know. Did you do the lesson that I did, that I gave you last week? And you can get the answers immediately. And if there's misunderstandings, if you didn't understand or some problem, you can get pastoral help right away. Elders' help and counsel. That's what we're trying to push. And among the assemblies and churches as well in Japan. Okay. What changes have taken place in the Iyama Assembly since we last reported to you? Back in the 1990s, we had many Filipina women. We started from zero. And we had many Filipina women who were married to Japanese men, plus all their kids. 7 or 8 years ago, 4 of them dropped out. But we seem to have stabilized at 6 Filipinas now. With one baptism a year for the last few years, and this gal should be baptized not long after we get back, probably early next year, one baptism a year for the next few years, we now have 6 or 7 Japanese sisters. No husbands. No guys. Okay, you can see that's another difficulty. However, in 2010, the Watanabes, believers of 30 years, moved to our area from Tokyo to open up their superb Chinese restaurant. I mean, really good. And not only that, but they're coming, joining the assembly. And they're believers, solid, stable believers, somebody in their 50s and 60s. That was a tremendous addition, I can guarantee you. Quite a boost. In April this year, Son Bob and Io got married. Another big boost, another couple. Now, 3 Christian couples live in the same Sakai village. So we dream of a home evangelistic Bible study in Bob and Io's home. Pray. In addition to the hoped-for home meeting in Bob and Io's Sakai village, we already have one in this home in a town 30 minutes away. And we're hoping for another one when Hisako-san's new house gets built next month. That's right, it's November when they're supposed to finish it. Other seekers, perhaps 8 or 10, are getting closer to a decision to believe and confess Christ. Lord, make us wise soul winners who can encourage them to make that step across the line. They have all sorts of hesitations. And please help us to train other believers as soul winners. What other changes are coming? Mary and I are both in our late 60s. How long does the Lord want us to stay? Who will take over the work? We certainly need more young couples with a commitment to the assembly and to the Lord. How do we train them? Neither of us is very good at passing off responsibilities like this. To whom do we hand off the Emmaus Bible correspondence work? So far, we've talked mostly about Iyama, but Japan as a whole is still one of the nicest but most resistant countries in the world to the gospel of Christ. Even combining all Christian denominations, Protestant, Catholic, the whole works, we're still less than 1% of the population. Ideally, Japanese people, like this radio evangelist, ideally, Japanese people can reach Japanese best. And there are Japanese workers willing to cooperate with foreign missionaries who can fit into the Japanese culture. Tim and Christiana Marcy came as long-term missionaries in 2009, and we are corresponding with yet another couple. The infrastructure is all in place. The assemblies and churches of Japan all say, if the Lord has called you, welcome. Is the Lord calling you? Thank you for your attention. It's 11:30. We may have another song, but I just raised that issue. We read from Acts chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas were already at Lystra, but the starting out of their missionary journey is most interesting. They were part of a functioning assembly. They were two of the leaders, elders, whatever, in their assembly of Antioch. The Lord said, send those two out, and everybody thought, wait, you know what the first thing they did was? They prayed. Check it out. The first thing that everybody did then was to pray, to confirm whether that's true or not. And then indeed it was the will of the Holy Spirit and the Lord, and so they sent them out. And the conclusion is they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. That's the challenge that we raise to you, not necessarily Japan or anywhere else, but is the Lord speaking to us, and how do you know? Now, there's plenty of hints in Scripture, and we hold that challenge before you this morning. Thank you very much for your attention. We've got plenty of time afterwards, and if you've got questions and want to raise them, obviously we're here to answer that. And if you could take a picture out in the hall if you're interested, that would be appreciated too. Thank you.